Let's talk about something many people do not enjoy, Holly, which is weeds in the garden and in the yard.
Yeah, many people, we get a lot of questions about how do you weed easier? How do you have less weeds? How do you do this?
Why do I have so many weeds?
Right. I have this type of weed, and what do I do with it? So I think one of the best tips, and it may seem obvious, is to pull the weeds, roots and all.
Just because you pull the weeds and you don't see the weeds anymore doesn't mean that they're not coming back, because a lot of times we just rip it the top off or take a garden hoe and just slice it off, or a hula hoe, and take it out, and that's it. But there's a lot of roots under the soil, and these weeds are very aggressive. That's why they're there, because they are very tough and strong, and they will divide and grow new shoots and new plants by simply tiny, tiny root divisions. That's why whenever you may have a garden, some of you till every week and twice on Sunday, and that's your deal. We're just, you know, we inform the information, and maybe this is why you're having so many weeds. Because you're tilling, you're disturbing the roots, you're killing the plants, what you think you're killing the plants. However, your tines, your tiller is cutting up all these roots. And then in about 2 weeks, you have more weeds than you ever had before, because all those divisions now have propagated into new plants. So
right. So that's what happens, is it creates that, it creates those propagations.
Right. Now, if you have purged your garden beds from all the roots of the fescue and the wiregrass and all this and that and another, and you till, that's a little different, because you've pretty much got a clean palate. However, just because you don't have any roots doesn't mean you're not going to have weeds come up, for a variety of different reasons. Some weed seeds can sit dormant in your garden for up to 80 years.
Yeah, that's insane. But it is a thing.
And you just keep turning it over, and you expose those to the right conditions, and pop, there they come.
Basically, yeah, you're just giving them oxygen and air and water and all those things. So that is one thing to keep in mind. Another thing is that if you do work on getting those weeds out, you'll essentially have less to till. You'll have less to
deal with.
Yeah, less work. So pulling those weeds, and we understand it takes a lot of work, and that's one of the reasons why we went to a raised bed system, was because we got sick of just dealing with the insane amount of weeds.
Now, you don't necessarily, if you don't want to pull the weeds, there's a couple of different options. One, you can get a tiger torch, which is a propane torch that you actually burn the plants. You don't burn it to the ground to a crisp like charcoal. You hit it with the heat, and it disrupts and burns and breaks apart the cells of the plant, which causes it to die. So it's not going to come back. You can use a pro plugger. You can go and physically extract the little plug of root out, and then backfill with compost or potting soil or dirt or whatever. You can also use a natural green product called No More Weeds from natgreenproduct.com. It's a vinegar-based product. You spray. It works within 8 hours. Now, it's not the poison stuff with the glyphosate, and we'll talk about that in a minute. No More Weeds, it's an herbicide. It's a non-selective herbicide from natgreenproducts.com. And the unique thing about it, it's vinegar-based, but it actually has a material in it that causes the vinegar to stick to the plants. And this is not just your kitchen ordinary vinegar. This is a high-concentrated vinegar.
High-concentrated, high-density, very potent vinegar. So another thing is that you can solar your yard or your garden.
Uh-huh.
So what you would do is...
This is not something you're going to do over a weekend and everything's going to be good. This is a commitment of time.
Right. So what you're going to do is you're going to mow the lawn short, and then you're going to water it thoroughly so you create that moisture in the ground. And then you take a clear plastic and you cover whatever area you're trying to cover, trying to kill off the weeds, kill off the vegetation.
Basically baking it. Now, some people use black plastic. It depends on what resource you look at, black plastic versus white or clear.
Right. So, I mean, we would use black plastic.
Right, but it radiates the heat. It basically turns the underneath of wherever you're at into an oven and basically bakes the soil, bakes the seeds, bakes the grass, and kills it all. Now you're thinking, well, what about the microbial life? A lot of those worms and everything, they'll go elsewhere. Once you remove that and revitalize that area for either vegetables or good grass or sod, that stuff will come back.
Yeah.
That's not a big deal.
Right. Yeah. No, they'll sense that there's essentially danger or whatever, and they will go somewhere else. They'll move to a different area. But during the winter, if you do so over winter, you're going to leave it for about 6 months. If you do it during the summer,
which is recommended.
Right. If you do it during the summer, it's going to take a couple months.
And not all weeds are bad weeds. And we reference this being dandelions, where we're at the medium of the road in front of the house and the parkway. Literally hundreds of thousands, tens of hundreds of thousands of dandelions that are coming up. Now, they all get mowed down, but you don't want to intoxify the dandelions. You don't want to spray those because that's the first food of the bees when the spring breaks. And just because you work very hard to remove the dandelions from your yard, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have dandelions there next year, because your neighbor may not care, and dandelion seeds, the little puffer things, can travel up to 5 miles.
Yeah, but it's important that we leave those dandelions there for the bees. Again, like Joy said, not all weeds are bad weeds. Did we want to talk about glyphosate?
Let's talk about glyphosate. Now, we're not going to use any name brands, but glyphosate, it's the big chemicals that we use. It's the up product, the roll it up product, and also other products have different levels of glyphosate in it. Now,
we'll leave that up to you to figure out. Now, so glyphosate is a broad spectrum herbicide.
I will say a lot of the people in the organic world does not like products that have glyphosate. However, this stuff works exactly as it is intended to do. It's not a gimmick. When it touches, it kills, and it's done.
Right. And If you use it responsibly, if you choose to use it, then it's going to do what it needs to do. If you use it irresponsibly, that's when it becomes a problem. But it is a broad spectrum herbicide. It's going to kill everything wherever you spray it. You do have to follow the directions, and on the directions it says it says only to spray it if it's below, I think, 70 degrees and low humidity, and not everybody does that. Oh, it's middle of summer, it's 80 degrees out, it's humid, but I want to take care of this patch of whatever. I'm just going to break out my glyphosate and do this. And what happens is that when it's humid, it can cling to the water molecules in the air, and then it can
drift.
It can drift, and then you have this chemical drift situation. And Joyce, familiar with the smell of it?
Right. We're in a lot of farm country in the upper and lower Midwest, and you guys spray. Grew up on a farm. When it was time, the beans and the GMO beans and the GMO corn was in the ground, you come in and spray. As long as it wasn't X amount of miles per hour windy, the sprayers would come in, and it didn't matter if it was 100 degrees or 65 degrees. It went and got done because they had a certain quota, or they had to get across so many fields in order to keep up with everybody's demand. So it would be 85 degrees, and you would just smell this drift of molecules of this chemical, the glyphosate, throughout the farm, you know, no matter where you were at. It could be on the back 40, which we had a back 40. That's a real thing. And you could be all the way up the house, and you could just smell it.
We had a back 40, too, but it was like back 40 inches.
40 inch, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
and you know, that's just the life of the farm.
Right.
So we're not, you know, knocking anybody. We're just telling you what it is.
No, and agriculture is vital to our living. So, with that being said, speaking of agriculture,
and another thing of being vital is taking care and being aware of what's in the food that you grow, vegetables, and the meat that you process, meat sticks, steaks, whatever it is. And even if you don't process your own meat, Walton's Incorporated, they've got all the seasonings that you possibly could need for your summer barbecue. Impress your friends, impress your spouse or your family with the best spices that you can get a hold of.
Yeah, I know Joey likes the barbecue sprinkle, whatever that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the Gardening with Joy and Holly Radio Show is brought to you today by your sponsors, Walton's Inc. Again, we know it's important to you know what's in your food. They have everything for everything but the meat. So they have things to make jerky, snack sticks. They have the equipment. They have the sausage stuffing equipment. They have the grinders, all of that.
If you need something for meat processing, Walton's has it.
Right. And they have
if they don't have it, it doesn't exist.
They even have seasonings for vegetables.
Yes.
So you can definitely take a look. You can go to waltonsinc.com. If you want to learn some tips or tricks about making these meat products, you go to meatgistics.com. There's a whole community there. So again, check out waltonsinc.com or meatgistics.com. For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.